all swimming inside, bread of your desire. So where could I run? Where could I hide from your heart's jealous fire? 'Cause all the treasures of wisdom, all things to be known, they're hidden inside your hands. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend.
Jesus, you make all. everybody to sing that part with me.
Oh, Jesus.
Sing louder, sing louder.
Lord would say unto his people, I am the God who makes all things new. I turn your mourning into dancing, says the Lord. I give you beauty for ashes, declares the living God. I am the only one who can take the negative circumstances of your life and work them for good. I make all things new. Will you not trust me? Will you not relinquish your hold on things? Give them unto me. Trust me, says the Lord. I am creator. I'm the one who said, let there be, and it was. I say unto you this day, trust me in all things. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I, says the Lord, will direct your path.
I know. feel the strength that you give us on a daily. And Father, we feel the love that you give us, the unconditional love, that when we ask forgiveness, you forgive us again and again and again. And we can run to you when we need you. And Father, we can call on you for all of our needs. Lord, for the healing that our body may need. The healing, Lord, that our mental emotions may need through this pandemic and through the challenges that the world gives us today. But we thank you, Father, that we can run to you again and again and again. Father, we thank you, Lord, for you are worthy of our praise this morning. We worship you. We lift you up, Father, and we acknowledge you. Thank you, Father. Raise your hands and worship the Father today. Thank you, Lord. His favorite time was to open that door and say, "Daddy's home." And all those little feet would run because sometimes Daddy had stuff in his pockets for the kids. But sometimes it was just being scooped up, swirled around, put on your shoulder. Daddy was home. When I hear that song, I often think about that. It's just like us running to the Father. And he's there again and again. Thank you, Jesus, for being there for us. Yes, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to be gathered together today. That's what one of my pastor friends texted me this morning, say, "I'm praying for your services today, that God's anointing would just be present." And I was praying through the week and knew God was going to meet us here. He always does. When we close ourselves in with the Lord at our homes or at work or in our cars, we feel that presence. The Holy Spirit meets us there and we can commune with the Father. But today, Sundays, we get to do it together. You know, there's this word that everybody loves, gather. Everybody loves gather. You know, they got it on their walls. It's in Hobby Lobby. It's at Walmart, old stuff. You know, when we gather together, we can feel the encouragement of one another. We can see the praise of one another. We hear the stories. Man, you won't guess what God did for me this week. We hear those wonderful things and we're encouraged and our faith is built and we feel that family connection. I don't know about you, but I look forward to our gather times on Sunday morning. Don't you? Yes. Thank you, Lord. At this time, we're going to take up our offering. Feel free to come to the buckets and just place your offering as Brittany sings a song for us and just leads us into a deeper realm of worship. Mm-hmm.
Nothing else will do. I just want
Don't you think it's a wonderful thing when the Father realizes that you are in His presence and you don't have a shopping list? I need, I want, please help me, could you deliver me? Here I am again, Lord. Don't you think it just touches the heart of the Father just for you to sit in His presence? Psalm 46 says what? Be still and just know that I'm God. Come on. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted in the earth and the heavens. I'm just God. As the church, the preacher said, he's just God all by himself. Come on. Just God all by himself. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we want to just come to you today with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. We've sung about redemption. We've sung about your tremendous plan of salvation. What you do in our lives, you redeem us. Not with something corruptible like silver or gold, as the word says, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. We sit here today in heavenly places in Christ Jesus for the purpose of sharing you in our hearts, declaring worth, worship. An expression today from our hearts, from our pocketbooks, from our physical self, just to say, Lord, here I am. I'm here to worship you, Lord. I'm here to worship you. I'm here just to take a few moments out of this first day of the week and just make a statement with my life that I want to worship you. You are worth it. You have redeemed me. I bless this week ahead of us, Lord. I pray that it would be productive, that we'd be safe, secure, protected, provided for. Lord, because without you, we're like the disciples who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? There's no one else. And we give you praise today. Speak to our hearts, Lord, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, praise the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. Thank you, Brittany, for that's always a meaningful song. I just don't want anything else, Lord, just to worship you. No shopping list today. Today I want to bring you the last of four messages for 2021. In the series that I've simply called the Vision Series, it gives you a chance to visit the vision statement of this house. A series devoted to sharing the heart of myself as a leader and the leadership and the church at large. Why do we even come here at 903 South Catherine Creek Road? Why do we bring kids in here on Wednesday nights and just pour into them and teach them things? Why do we assemble today? Why do we do small groups? Why do we study the Bible? We've tried to articulate vision, the vision for this new year, but more than that, a vision that keeps us on task with the mandate and the call that God has upon this church, simply to enlarge, somebody say enlarge the kingdom of God, to advance it. That's what we're here to do. That's what you're here to do. That's what people say, well, I don't understand my purpose in life. Your purpose has to be the kingdom, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the first thing. And if that's not first in your life, no wonder it's all jacked up. Amen. The Bible shares a prophetic voice of Isaiah in the Old Testament. I'm going to be bouncing here and there for a little bit this morning. Shares a prophetic voice. I would encourage you to write some of these things down, make notes on your phone. Or if bad comes to worse, you can go back and listen to it again. Amen. And hit share while you're watching this. Pull up Facebook and hit share. What you do is you multiply. I got about 5,000 friends. It's on my post. So if you hit share, guess what happens? Exponentially, you just took the word of God and just pushed it all over the place with your friend list. It's so simple. You got your hand on your phone anyway. I done seen you. Amen. It's not the time for solitaire or Candy Crush. Come on, somebody. It's not the time for that. That can come later. I'm not boring. If I get boring, you can play, but I'm not boring, all right? The Bible shares this prophetic voice of Isaiah the prophet in chapter 5, verse 14. And this is what he says. He says, therefore, this grieves my heart. I'm sure it grieves the heart of the Father. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Isaiah says that hell will be the great and the lowly and the brawlers and the rebellious. It'll be filled with people. But we've called to do what? To enlarge the kingdom of God, the domain of God, the rulership of God. That word kingdom means rulership. We're called to enlarge the rulership of God, to expand, to extend the kingdom of God. So the vision is this: we must raise up an army of redeemed people. I feel sad for the person who just has been coming to this church for 15 years and that's all you're doing. You just come into church. You don't do nothing. You just come. And the question would be, for what? Do you go back out tomorrow and do you plug in to the mission that God has assigned to you? Now I'm not just criticizing you because you're not on our volunteer list. You may come in here for the last 15 years and you may be inspired and encouraged and you may be in fact doing things, okay? Because of your inspiration, you're doing things for the kingdom. That's what I'm talking about. Do something. Amen? Do something for the kingdom. Give the word of God away. Support a missionary. Go down to the prison and volunteer for an hour a month. Go down to the nursing home. And you know, that's kind of hard to do right now. But when we can, that's what you do. Because why? Because you've engaged yourself into the work of the rulership of God. You're about the work of the kingdom. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. Amen? So you raise up an army, and they're willing to embrace their God-given mission to proclaim the life-changing gospel to people every day that they live. Our vision reflects this. Look at what it says. Carpenter Shop International Church is a body of believers whose vision is to love all people. I think we do well with that. Love all people, to win them to Christ, to build them in discipleship. That's what we talked about last week, the building in discipleship, and then the sending them out to fulfill their divine destiny. It's easy. Love, win, build, send. I'll never forget 1991. I came here in 92, 29 years, okay? I came here in 92, but 91 was an important year for me because it was a year that I graduated from Bible college. I had graduated from the greatest school in North Carolina, in Raleigh. If you hadn't figured that out yet, it's NC State, all right? I graduated from there, but, you know, that wasn't about ministry. That was about agriculture. That was about pest management. And I remember moving to that place of embracing undergraduate work for ministry's sake. And I took my family and I loaded everything up. You've heard the story many times. And I loaded everything up and we went to Florida, the sunny state of Florida. And we landed on a college campus. And I spent the next 4 years building myself for this purpose. 4 years of college, undergraduate work. 4 years of pastoral ministry preparation. 4 years of studying the Bible in an academic setting, which is sometimes dry as toast. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's just tough. Amen? Sometimes it's just hard, man, to get down there and break all this stuff up and read books that you really don't want to read, but you have to pass the class. And it's tough. And anybody who's done that knows what I'm talking about. It's a sacrifice in your life, and it's a challenging thing. It's a very challenging thing. And so I'll never forget that when I'm standing there, listen, I started class with 714 freshman students. It's just water. I'm not worried about it. God is the water, and he's going to get in here one way or another, so he's coming through the ceiling today, all right? So we got to call the repairman tomorrow, get somebody up on this big roof and stop the leak. But it's just water. I think I'll get under it. Amen? Amen. Holy water, all right? Holy water. So I'm standing on the platform. I'm standing on the platform, and I got my level head hat on. Dun, 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 dun. All these 4 years of planning for this night. And we were at Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, Florida. Carpenter's Home Church, we were there for graduation. And Dr. Charles Cookman was the speaker for the evening. And I never will, man, it's been almost 30 years ago. But I never will forget what happened that night. I'm standing there in the class. 714 of us were freshmen. 102 graduated. Talking about folks who gave up. Talking about folk who quit. Talking about people who said, this is not for me. Anywhere, somewhere between the 4 years from 714 to 102. Only 102 of us graduated. And I was one of those. And I was there with my family, and Josh and Abby had their little t-shirts on. We had them printed. My dad graduated from SEC and I helped. Okay? We had their shirts, man. They were white and I had them printed. And we had gone to Hallmark. How many of y'all know that when you care about things the very best, you just go to Hallmark? Come on. We went to Hallmark and I found a little cardboard house. Just a little cardboard house, and it was like a recipe card box, if you can see it in your mind's eye. And I purchased that house, and I put inside a fortune cookie and a Milk-Bone dog biscuit. Remember? Because we were dreaming. You know what I was telling my kids? All those 4 years, you're sacrificing. Listen, man, you talk about sacrifice. We did it. My wife worked and put me through Bible college. She worked. And I worked only a part-time job. I worked about 8 hours a week. And for 4 years, she worked 40 hours. We put the kids in a Christian daycare. And I had promised these kids, listen, it's not going to be like this forever. It's not going to be like this today. One day, guess what we're going to do? We're going to leave this 600-square-foot apartment. And I put that little Hallmark thing over there. And we're going to get a house. Come on. We're going to move on up to the east side. Amen. To a deluxe apartment. You can tell what year I was born, can't you? And so we showed them that house, and the house top came up, and inside it was a fortune cookie. And you know what I told my kids? After Dad graduates, we're going to start doing something that we haven't been doing for the last 4 years. We're going to go out to eat, okay? We're going to a restaurant, all right? And then I took that Milk-Bone dog biscuit, and guess what we're going to do? We're going to get a dog, okay? No more goldfish, okay? No more goldfish in a bowl. You're going to get a real pet, amen? And so this was our dream, and I was walking across that stage, and I never will forget it, and I hope I never do. And I heard the speaker speak that night, and he said, listen, Dr. Chuck Cookman said this. He said, in this words of commencement tonight, I want to tell you, all of your life, you have heard the sound of the Spirit of God saying, come, come, come unto me. All of your life, the Spirit of God beckons you to come, and he may be doing that to some of you who are in this facility today, and he may be doing that to some of you that are watching online. You feel the Spirit of God pulling you to himself. He said, all of your life, you hear the Spirit of God say, come, and just as soon as you surrender your life to him, he changes his message and says, no, not come, but what? Go! Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And understand this, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the very age. Go now! Go and preach the gospel. So you see, sending is important to me. Feeling that sense of God sending is probably one of the most valuable pieces of our vision statement here. It takes a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to get us to come to Jesus. And it takes the same Holy Spirit in a sovereign work that molds us and shapes us and equips us in discipleship. Remember what I said last week? How long do we stay in discipleship? You know, is it like getting out of the 12th grade or something? No, you are in it for life. This discipleship is a journey. And the Spirit of God tells you to go. The Spirit of God has been telling you. Some of you may not have went anywhere yet. But the Spirit of God is telling you, after you come to Jesus, to share this glorious message. It's that voice of the Spirit that spoke to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. He begins by telling us, and I love the way this happens in the Old Testament. He begins by, his message is marked by an event. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Man, he's marking things down for remembrance. In the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah was an important king, and he was appointed to that office at the age of 16 to lead a now divided kingdom. There's the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, if you know anything about Bible history. And he's called now to lead that southern kingdom whose name is what? Judah, which means what? Praise. He's called to lead that southern kingdom. And his very name, Uzziah, means Yahweh is my strength. Okay? And he led Israel as a godly king. All I'm doing is studying the Bible out loud. He was a godly king. He was a good king. A king that depended upon the Lord. And for an amazing reign of 52 years, Israel enjoyed what? The blessings of the Lord all the way up to the end. But hang on, honey. All the way up to the end. And then something happened. A 52-year run of tremendous leadership. And then something happened. Pride entered his heart. He lost this perspective that Yahweh was indeed his strength and his guide. And he began to rule above the commands of the Lord in his life. Listen, if you don't submit yourself to the Lord and follow his ways for your life, you're going to be in trouble. If you try to get in the driver's seat and run things yourself, you're in for a crash. And instead of functioning in his calling and his role, which was to be what? The king. King Uzziah entered into the temple, the holy place, and he took the role of the priest. He snatched it to his authority, and he began to offer incense in the temple. And he was rebuked by the priest, and he became very angry, and the Lord God Almighty struck him with leprosy. Read the story. And the man died a leper. And so it's very important here that when you look at the marking of Isaiah 6 in the year that King Uzziah died, man, it was an amazing mark in the Old Testament. His death devastated people. They're grief-stricken. They're very disappointed that his end and his fate ended up the way it was. They were saddened. They were downhearted. And what will happen now is the big question. What will happen now to Israel, and what will be the future of the rebuilding of this people of God? It's in the context that Isaiah sees the vision of the Lord. It's in that context Isaiah, the writer, the one who penned this Old Testament prophecy in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Listen, when bad things happen, keep looking deep beneath the surface, because God is about to show you something that you would not otherwise see if something bad had not happened. Come on, touch your neighbor, say he's talking about you. Something bad happens, and we have to look far beneath the surface to see that God is trying to say something to us. You see, the train of a king, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He's high and exalted, seated on the throne. And notice what it says here. And it says, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Notice that. The train of his robe filled the temple. You see, the train of a king was fashioned by the garments of those whom he had defeated. Come on. And every time this king would defeat somebody, what he would do, he would snatch the robe of its leader. Give me that thing, okay? And he would attach it to his own garment. And so he would continue, I defeated that one. And what happened was he had defeated so many that Isaiah says, what I see is the train of the Lord. Oh man, the train of the Lord, it fills the temple of the living God because he's defeated every enemy that ever stood in his way. The train of the Lord fills the temple of the Lord. It was like a trophy, if you will. And though it's a bad thing that's happened, this king is filled with pride and dies a leper. Isaiah says, it causes me to see the Lord high and lifted up. And his train fills the temple. And Isaiah was able to get a glimpse of who it is that gives us our victory, who it is that allows us to triumph, who it is that we are ultimately dependent upon in every facet of our life. It is the Lord who is exalted. It is the Lord who is high. It is the Lord who is lifted up. He is the only one worthy of glory. Oh my goodness, Pastor, you've done such a good job with this church. Shut your mouth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who has done the work. We're just servants of his. We're just under shepherds that are called by God to do the work that he's called us to do, because he wants to do a work here better than we ever thought about wanting to do. It's God. Isaiah goes on to tell us that angels are inhabiting the atmosphere. I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. Come on, somebody. Angels are inhabiting that atmosphere where the Lord is seated. If you look here at chapter 6, continuing on to verses 3-8, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. Because let me tell you something. When the presence of God comes in, it's time for self-examination for you to look in your own heart. You're standing in the sanctuary week after week, and you're worshiping God, and the songs are being sung, and the notes are being played, and the presence of God begins to fill the house, and you begin to do a self-examination about your shortcomings and your failures this past week, and you cry out unto the Lord, Lord, wash me afresh and anew. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. That's what should happen when we come to church. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I got a dirty mouth, he said, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, check this out, whom shall I send, and who in the world will go for us? Then said I, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, I'll stay in the nursery. Here I am, Lord, I'll teach that kid's class. I'm not going to quit. Here I am, Lord, I'll be a greeter. Here I am, Lord, I'll just go out there and help the cleaning staff. Here I am, Lord, I'll teach a class. Here I am, Lord, I'll start a Bible study. Here I am, Lord, I'll give the word of God away. Here I am, Lord, I'll support a missionary. You see, God's all about sending. Oh, listen to the Spirit of God this morning. As you read this passage from the prophet Isaiah, you recognize several things. Number one, Isaiah said the doorpost shook at the sound of his voice. Listen, when you find yourself in the presence of God, something has to give. Ultimately and hopefully, it's your will and my will. Something has to give. His presence will move you. His presence will shake you. His presence will demand your absolute attention and evaluation. Come on now. Secondly, Isaiah continues in saying, he says, woe unto me, for I'm undone. I have a dirty mouth. Some of y'all know what he's talking about because you've got a dirty mouth. Amen? Some of y'all cuss all during the week And Sunday, you're just trying to speak in tongues. Come on. Some of y'all get mad and you cuss. And then you cuss in front of your friends and say, forgive my French. That ain't French. That's profanity. Okay? So you cuss. You cuss and you swear and you get angry. And so Isaiah here says, listen, woe unto me when I come into the presence of the Lord. I know I'm unclean. I know I got a foul mouth. The presence of God will remind you that He is holy. He's God and you're not. It will cause you to see yourself in light of His presence. He knows you. He's aware of your failures. He's aware of your faults. Yet He wants to touch you. It's like Pastor Joy said, here we come again. We come right back, and guess what He does? He opens His arms up wide and receives you again and wipes it away and says, come on now, let's do better this time. Thirdly, Isaiah says that an angel took a fresh hot coal off the altar and touched his lips. Listen, when God touches you, your life is transformed. When God touches you, your life will be transformed. Your actions will change. You cannot have a divine encounter with the living God of this earth and not change. You can't do it. We got a lot of folks in churches today that have come to the front and they've prayed the prayer, but their life has not changed. They've never gone through a real transformation. They raised a hand, prayed the prayer, but if something hasn't totally transformed your life, I'm sorry, you can walk to the front and say the prayer all you want to. You have not had a transformation by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Read about Saul on the road to Damascus. This man who the Bible says he breathed every breath that came out of his body. He breathed threatenings and slaughters against the Lord's people. But that particular night, when the light shone from heaven and knocked him off his horse, he found himself transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. That's what God does with us. Your life will be transformed. Your speech will be changed. Everything about you will be different. You can't stand in the presence of a holy God and remain the same. You can't. The angel said to Isaiah, your sin is purged, okay? Isaiah fourthly says that a question is posed to him, who shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah responds with the very words that the Lord wants you and I to say unto him, here I am, Lord, send me. Amen? Lord, I'm a voice that you can use. Lord, I'm available. Just go ahead and send me. Sign me up. Put me on the list. I'm ready to serve the Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll sing. I'll preach. I'll pray. I'll intercede. I'll give. I'll invest in other people. Sign me up, Lord. I'm committed to share your gospel in whatever way, shape, form, or fashion you call me to do it. God's always in the business of sending. Sending the willing, sending the voice that will speak up and be his mouthpiece. And the message of the good news will be on your tongue. Paul said in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. And that's what you got to tell people. You can call on the name of the Lord. Paul goes on to say, listen, I'm convinced. I evaluate every week of my life. I'm evaluating where we are, put my finger on the pulse of, you know, what's the church doing? How's it going? Are we expanding? We are making headway during this pandemic. Here's the heartthrob for me that's really disappointing. Just this past week, I got a text. Let me stop and read this. This ain't in the notes. Use notes, yep, word for word. I preached in Pakistan Monday morning. I gave them $250 for Bibles to be distributed to the people that were on the ground. And the guy who did the work, it's a beautiful thing, the guy who did the work on the other end, I'm 9 o'clock in the morning preaching behind a pulpit lectern in Edenton. It's dark in Pakistan. They've gathered on the ground, walked from miles away, and sat on the ground. And he said, I'll get a report about your preaching, and I'll send you some pictures later in the week. Well, Friday I received this. Greetings to you, dear man of the Lord. Over 97 people gave their heart to Jesus, and many, many got healed. And one person who came there, and he was having problem in his kidney. He was having stones in the kidney. And he came to the meeting, and the Lord supernaturally healed him, and he gave testimony that no more stones in the kidney. And there was a person who has tumor under his underarm. He was in so much pain, and while you're preaching, the tumor disappeared. And he gave testimony. And one lady who came there, she was doing graves. Pastor Mike, you had to help me with that. That's a cultural thing. I don't really know what he was talking about. He said she was doing graves and she was worshiping there. And the Lord healed her and she stopped doing that. And she repented. And over 76 testimonies take place where other people came and said their body pains were gone. Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel, the good news, on an old shackly piece of cloth hanging from two poles and preaching at 9 o'clock here, dark over there, and just a little machine set up to take the gospel to a remote village in Pakistan. Just preach the gospel. So listen, don't say, well, you know, since the pandemic, we're not able to accomplish anything. I beg you to be different here. We've accomplished more. I don't recall 76 people getting saved and healed in Carpenter Shop inside this building in the last year. I don't recall 93 salvations in last year. I really don't. Because God is doing supernatural things. And maybe he has to get to the church where she has at least the willingness to become creative and invest in some kind of means to at least continue to preach the gospel. But the thing that troubles me the most is that while we're doing what we're doing, there's a lot of people who are just happy not being here. Just happy. Just happy not being in the presence of God. I loved that today's the Super Bowl. How many of y'all saw my Facebook post yesterday? I created that. I started to put my name on. I told my wife, I said, I should put my name on this. I found me a picture of a sad, lonely man sitting on the sofa with a bowl of popcorn. And I said, so tomorrow's the Super Bowl. He's sitting there all by himself looking all sad. And I said, listen, if you haven't been to church in the last 10 months, you stay home right by yourself and watch that Super Bowl. Don't you go to no party. And I'm telling you the truth. Listen, some of y'all are going to go get wings today. You're going to go to the store. You're going to pick up some beanie weenies. You're going to have some sausage dip with all kinds of tasty things in it. And you're going to ask a bunch of people, y'all come on over to our place. We're having a Super Bowl party. No, you're not. I pray that if you do, you burn your wings. I pray that if you do, everything you eat tastes bad. I pray that if you do, the team that you're pulling for loses by 20 points. I pray that if you do, everything goes south. Come on, praise the Lord with me. I don't even like Tom Brady, and I'm pulling for him. Maybe I don't like him. I never have liked them. I never pulled for the Patriots. I was always against them. But I figured, listen, if you can go down there in the south side of Florida from the cold country of the New England and you can bring this team to the Super Bowl, bless your heart, you deserve to win. Come on, somebody. So I'm pulling for Tom Brady. Amen. You don't have to pull for him, but I'm just pulling for him. I already told you I didn't like him. Amen. Listen, God wants us to be engaged into the work of the kingdom. If it's a little sheet hanging from the sky and you threw in a few dollars, listen, we need your help. $125 a week. It wouldn't take no time. You just say, I'll take a week. And just put it on your little stub there. Pastor Noli, 1 week in India. We're translating the gospel. Every service is being translated from Carpenter Shop into the language of India, which is Hindi, and the seventh largest landmass in the earth is receiving our service in their language. Come on. When could you do that? 125 a week. Just say, hey, we'll take a week and let him know about it. We're translating the gospel. Why? Because we've become creative in this COVID thing, and we're not going to stop preaching the gospel. We're not going to stop being creative and doing incredible things. And reports come back like that of people getting saved. We're storing up treasures in heaven, not on earth, for what God will reward us for. Amen. for the kingdom's sake. Paul goes on to say, verse 14 and 15, after he said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he says, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're what? Sent. How can you preach unless you're sent? Some of you are sent. Somebody say sent. Sent to do something special. Amen? Sent to do something special. I was helping my wife for a few minutes this week, just doing a little bit of a rainy day weather task, just cleaning up a little closet. And I looked in the closet, not our closet, they already been cleaned, remember? I was just cleaning up the closet there at her workplace, and just she said, would you just straighten up that shelf? And I looked, and there were prayer shawls in there that a group faithfully, listen, faithfully a group from the Methodist Church in Murfreesboro has been consistently making prayer shawls for years. They're taking the yarn and they're making prayer shawls, and then they wrap the shawl up and they put a prayer in there and they pray over the shawls and they come and present them to the chaplain of hospice. And then she takes that prayer shawl when she meets that patient and she says, hey, I have something for you here. Here's a shawl that was handmade by believers. And there's a prayer on it. And I want to pray for you as I give this prayer shawl to you. And we lay this on your body. We're believing that God's going to supernaturally do some things in your life as you face the challenging time here. Somebody was sent to make a shawl. Come on. Somebody was sent to buy some yarn on sale at Walmart and sit down every night and just pull the threads and make a shawl. If you say, well, that ain't doing nothing. Yes, it is. That's doing incredible work for the kingdom of God. Everybody's not called to be a pastor. Everybody's not going to be an evangelist, an apostle, or a prophet. But you can do something to enlarge the kingdom of God while you're here on this earth. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. He didn't say it was through preaching. He said, if you bring the good news, maybe you brought the good news through a prayer shawl. Maybe you bought the good news through giving a Bible away. Maybe you bought the good news through sponsoring a program. Maybe you brought the good news because you raised your hand and said, I'm in on that missionary. Everybody has something to do. Everybody's sent. And then there are some who are called on special missions. Acts chapter 13 bears out the story. Let me water my tank here because I'm about halfway through. I'm just kidding you. Acts chapter 13, I love the context. The Bible says in Acts 13 verses 1 and 2, now in the church in Ahoski, come on. Just note, Antioch was just like a husky. Now, in the church in a husky, there were prophets. Come on, how would you like to be it written in the Bible about your church that your church was full of prophets? Come on now. Now, in the church in a husky, there were prophets and there were teachers and there were men like Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, what had this church done? The church had called a fast. The church had come together, and they weren't bringing anything to the fellowship hall to eat. They just came together to the church to seek the Lord and to fast and to pray. And while they were in one of their prayer meetings, the Holy Ghost showed up like he did in our service today. And I don't know if it was a message in tongues or just a prophetic word, but the Holy Ghost spoke up and said this, set apart for me, says the Lord, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I've called them. Man, don't you know folks started snotting and crying? Don't you know that Barnabas's grandma was over there? I knew you had your hand on him. I knew he was going to be in the ministry. You don't know all the details. But be creative. Don't you know that when that happened that night and the Holy Ghost said, Barnabas and Saul, my sovereign hand is upon you. Don't you know there were some people there that was happy? Because they knew that God was moving in Barnabas' life. They knew that God was moving powerfully in the lives of those people. And the Bible says that after he said, separate apart from me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work in which I've called him. Verse 3 says, so after they had fasted and they prayed, the Bible says they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. And you can track their missionary journeys in the book of Acts. I had to do that when I went to Bible college. I had to draw a map, not copy one. I had to draw a map, and I had to identify with a dot and the name of the place, every place where Paul, on his three missionary journeys, I had to identify every journey that he took and every city that he stopped at and write a little scenario on the side of what happened there. And the only thing you can use, the professor said, is a Bible. You can't go and you buy a map and just say, well, I'm just going to get me some tracing paper. Okay, no. You can't just go down there and get you a commentary and you signed a document stating that I pledge as a student in this Bible college to use only the Bible. And then he said, I know what y'all are thinking, but get you a razor blade and cut the maps out of it if you can't stay away from it. Okay? Someone said, well, I just turned to the back. I'll get me a machine and I'll enlarge that map. No. He said, don't you use it. You draw your own map, and you identify every place where these guys went. And they prayed for them, and they sent them off on these missionary journeys. And so we address this passage. Let us remember, we're saved, and we're called to also go on our own missionary journey. And it will be different for me than it is for you. And it'll be different for the next guy than it is for this gal. Every one of them will be different. But we all call upon the name of the Lord and ask for His sovereign guidance upon our lives as we engage ourselves into the work of the kingdom. Why? Because I'm sent. Amen. I was loved, I was won, I was discipled, and now I've been sent. Amen? Heard a powerful story yesterday from a pastor, or Friday from a pastor. I sat down and talked with him, a missionary rather, and he told me this. He said, I never really had this lightning bolt experience that God just arrested me and I fell on my face and said, Lord, what do I do? He said, I always just had desire. Can I just tell you half of calling is desire? He said, I had this desire. And he said, so I didn't really know what was going on in the church that much. It didn't seem like there was a lot. So he said, I took it upon myself. Hear the story now. He said, I took it upon myself to just look at the men in the church. And I'm just using this for a hypothetical situation. He said, I look and I saw Zach and I saw Bernie, and I saw Hershey. He said, hey, Zach, Bernie, Hershey, you guys, what y'all doing Saturday morning? And not a whole lot, man. I usually just take off, just kind of lay around the house after Monday through Friday. You know how it is. And he said, well, hey, would you guys like to just kind of get with me, have a cup of coffee, and just talk about some things that the Lord's doing? And he said, I took those three men, and he said, I started working with them every Saturday morning. And then I said to one of them, I said, Zach, we've been doing this for about 6 months now. He said, what I want you to do is the same thing I did. And I want you to look and find three guys in the church. And Zach's so excited, Zach says, okay. So Zach looks around the church and he says, hey, Matt, Anoli, Tyler. So you guys, y'all available Saturday morning? They said, yeah, we don't do a whole lot on Saturday. We work Monday through Friday, so we just kind of chill out on Saturday. He said, y'all meet me down at a restaurant there, and we just grab us something for breakfast and just talk a little bit. And they said, yeah. So Zach takes Tyler, and Zach takes Matt, and Zach takes Anoli, and they do that for about 6 months. And then Zach says, hey, Tyler, I said, why don't you do something, man? He He said, I want you to look in the church and find you three men. Are y'all getting this now? Okay. So what has happened, and this missionary told me this. He said, man, I just kept doing that. And he said, what happened was growth and development started taking place in our church. And he said, the fire of God hit our church because these men got on fire for the Lord. And he said, we started growing and growing. And he said, it wasn't long before the pastor pulled me aside and said, hey, man, you started something. He said, would you, have you ever considered, like, doing this, you know, like, all the time? He said, what you talking about? He said, I believe God's call is on your life, man. He said, you're different. And he said, it was that pastor who recognized something in me. And he said, all I can tell you is from that day forward, everything changed. I spent 15 years in the continent of Africa. I spent several years over in India. And he said, all I've ever done, he said, by trade, I'm a maintenance man. He said, God gave me a great job. I was a supervisor and I managed 39 employees. They were all under me on maintenance for a tremendous facility in Charlotte, North Carolina. But he said, God uniquely set me aside. And here's the thing that he said, and sent me in a different direction. Would you just look at your neighbor right now and say, man, you're sent. You're sent. Come on. You're sent. You're sent. You may not be sent like he was. You may not be sent like I am. But I can tell you this. You're sent. Amen. Your phone's ringing right now. Holy Ghost is calling you up. Okay? Don't say hello because you know who it is? It's Jesus on the other line. He's calling you up, man. He's trying to ring you out because you didn't put your phone on silent. All right. Musicians, would you join me? There's those circumstances that God just singles people out and does incredible things, such as the case in Antioch. Luke records that there were ministry gifts there. I love this. Check it out. There are ministry gifts there. There were prophets in the church. There were teachers in the church. Come on, what a church full of prophets and teachers. Then he starts to name them, Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and Saul. And God has set them apart. And Saul and Barnabas, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And because of what God did in the life of Paul and Barnabas, you and I now have a Bible to read in the New Testament, okay? A third of this Bible, you know, just this New Testament is the recordings, the epistles of what Paul experienced after realizing that he was in fact sent. And God continues to send people today. He's called you all uniquely to do something. Just a few weeks ago, I heard a guy talking about like a little dream in his life. He's thinking about starting a Bible study in the morning. 6 o'clock, 6:30, somewhere in there. Just going to call a few people to get together. Can I just tell you something? The devil don't do that. Okay? People say, I don't know if I should do that or not. Yes, you should! Okay? My question is, have you yet? Okay? Have you yet? Because he's sitting here this morning. Have you started yet? If not, when? Put it on the calendar. Because the devil didn't give you that idea. Okay? You have that idea in your spirit because the Lord says to you, listen, a long time ago, I set you apart, and you're sent, okay? You're sent. Long time ago, I set you apart. Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5, before I formed you in the womb, I sent you to start a Bible study at 6 o'clock in the morning. See? So you and I must embrace what God says and then do it. Do it. Do it all for the glory of God because he's the one who sent us here. 1 Peter chapter 3:15, chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, if this is the least you can do, at least you can do this. You're sent to do this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. I've never seen such a scared America. I've never seen such a scared America. I've never seen such a scared Christian America. Never have. I've never seen such a scared America. Afraid. Well, you know. No. I'm not afraid, man. I'm not gonna live in fear. I'm not afraid. Not afraid. I'm sent by God to preach about Jesus. Can you see Jesus walking through the towns and the cities, laying hands on the sick and speaking to infirmities and all these other things? Why? Because he was sent. And guess what? You and I are sent too. Love, win, build, send. Well, Pastor, I just don't know, man. I don't know what to do. I'll help you. There are others in this room that will help you, amen, to discover what it is that God has sent you to do. I want you to stand with me right now, and quickly I'm just going to ask a simple question. Is there anyone here this morning that, first and foremost, you would say, Pastor, I just want to tell you, man, God's doing some incredible things in my life. And maybe maybe it's the first time for you. Maybe you've wandered off the track. Maybe you just kind of got sidetracked along the journey. But you say, listen, man, the Holy Ghost has read my mail. And I'm here today, and I just want to say to the Lord, God, I'm here. And I'm recognizing your sovereign call upon my life. Not only to save me and keep me, but to cause me to help others to see the light also. If that's you, come on, raise your hand right quick. Raise your hand right quick. If that's you, God's speaking to your heart today. Raise your hand right quick. Praise the Lord. Look, listen, step out of your seat. You can maintain your distance, but step out of your seat. It's important that you acknowledge that, listen, God is doing something. Maybe the rest of you, maybe you're here and you just feel the Holy Spirit. You feel the Holy Spirit just ratifying the fact that you are willing to serve, willing to give, willing to go, willing to invest, willing to do something. Just come and stand in his presence this morning, and let's worship together. Come on, let's just worship together. Come on, just stand in his presence. Slip out of your seat. Give that Bible study to him. Give that project to him. Give that plan to him afresh and anew. Give it to him and ask him, Lord, receive this. Multiply, empower it, anoint it, God, so that I might be used for your glory as a kingdom person sent by you. In Jesus' name. Just sing it, would you? And as you get here, listen, nobody's going to bother you. Just come and stand in his presence and lift up your hands and love him for a moment. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to come over to you. Just pray right where you are, standing at this altar. Just come.
I've carried a burden.
Thank you, Lord.
I see it now. I lay it down. had a plan from the start. Your song for redemption wore the flies from my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. So I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a prayer. I run to the Father again, again, again. Oh, 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 oh. Running from life to death, I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out, just as I am. You pull me in, all out of my need. You know, run to the Father, fall in the grave.
Throughout the week, being reminded that you have sent us, Lord, sent us to share your love, your hope, your word, Father God, to be the hands and feet of you extended in our community and our jobs and everywhere that we go throughout the week, Father. I ask that you cover us with your blood, protect us, and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray.